Welcome to our continuing special build coverage, episode number 154. In this episode, we have Clint Ruckus and Michael Crump, technical product managers at Microsoft that look after the Universal Windows platform.
This episode of the MS Dev Show is brought to you by Espose, the market leader of .NET and Java APIs for file business formats. Natively work with DocX, XSLX, PPT, PDF, MSG, MPP, image formats, and many more.
Welcome to our special build coverage. In this episode, we have Clint Ruckus and Michael Crump, technical product managers at Microsoft that look after the Universal Windows platform. How's it going, guys?
It's going good. It's going great.
Awesome. So, Carl, what's going on?
I'd just like to mention again that we have our brand new Slack channel. You can sign up for it at slack.msdevshow.com. We've had quite a few people sign up already in the week that it's been open as of when we record this. So we invite everybody who listens, who wants to be part of the community, who wants to just talk to other people who are developers or developer-minded. It's a great place to get together and have all sorts of discussions and get to know everybody else who's listens to MS Dev Show better.
Yep. And where are we going to be later this year after Build?
Yeah, we just coordinated that we are going to be at that conference in the Wisconsin Dells area. We've been there the last 2 years in some way, shape, or form. You missed last year, Jason, yep. But you're going to be there this year. So we're both going to be there. We will both be recording and doing awesome stuff, and we just want to meet you guys out there. So if you can make it to the Dells, it's a fun place to take your family, very family-friendly oriented. They have a water park where if you book your hotel at that hotel, you get a water park pass with that complimentary. So your family can be hitting that up during the day while you're learning some techie goodness.
Absolutely.
Don't forget the bacon.
And the bacon, yes, lots of bacon. Every meal. There's bacon and a bacon bar towards the end.
Yep,
bacon. Bar? Oh, no one told me that.
They were doing the roasting thing right there.
Yeah, they have the pig roast as well.
Yeah, I totally want that. That was pretty awesome.
So
you got to get that into your budget there, Clint.
Yep. So if any of you want to continue that conversation and chat with us about either event, Build, or that conference. I've actually set up channels on our Slack page. So if you go to that slack.msdevshow.com, you can jump into one of those channels. You know, if you're not quite sure what to talk about, you can jump into one of those specific channels and chat with us. So if you're interested in being on the show for that conference, or you want us to talk to you at Build, or, you know, whatever, we have specific channels for those events. So Carl, what do we have for the comment of the week?
The comment of the week is once again brought to you by Espose. And the commenter this week gets a developer small business license for Espose.total for .NET, which includes all of the Espose.NET products in one package. And this week, Dwight Gappa emailed us. And apparently a little while ago, we were talking about TVs and about how 4K content can sometimes look just the same as 1080p. Mm-hmm. And he had a little discussion about that. But he also brought up last episode, as of when we recorded this, because this is going to be out of order a little bit. we talked about not having the job you want. And he had a very specific question that I think I'd like to bring up. When it comes to work-life balance and taking time outside of work to get professional development skills, you know, how much effort should you put into that? Mm-hmm. Was his question. So, do any of you guys have any thought, like, you know, how much effort do you put in outside of work and still maintain work-life balance for your careers?
Well, I think the simple answer is, like, how bad do you want to be doing something different? Or, you know, it's really up to you, right? So if you want to have very good work-life balance, then, you know, when 5 o'clock rolls around, run out the door and don't do anything at home. So, you know, I don't think there is one answer for anybody. You know, the guy that we were talking about on the last episode, you know, he was in a job that he didn't want and he wanted to switch careers. So, you know, him spending massive amounts of time on something completely different. You know, he was sacrificing that work-life balance to get the job that he wanted. So it made sense. So you really have to find, the balance there. And for me, it comes in waves. I will do a lot of work, outside of working hours, and work on, you know, personal projects. And then I'll go months without doing any of that because I focus on family. So, you know, I think it's a balancing act. I don't know if you guys have any comments.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the same way. It's a complete balancing act. Mm-hmm. I know that it's really normal and natural for me when I get home to go ahead and crack the laptop, you know, back open again and start going to like
last night.
Exactly. You start doing a little bit of work, or then you just go ahead and you start looking and reading like, you know, Hacker News or some of the latest like, you know, websites to try to get up to speed. And then you got to make sure you take care of, you know, family obligations and things like that. So I think it's a big kind of balancing act that everybody is not really that one size fits all. It's kind of, again, what do you think is, you know, best for you? And I know whenever I'm trying to ramp up new technology, you know, I'll watch some videos. I try to incorporate that in my daily life. Like, you know, I'm on the treadmill. And when I'm on the treadmill, I try to do stuff. Other times.
Mm-hmm. I would say another big one is like, for developers, occasionally have crunch mode. So you should have that conversation with your management and say, hey, if I'm crunching, I expect, you know, to be able to go home at 3 o'clock or come in late, you know, the next couple weeks forward. Like, mm-hmm. For us, summer tends to be a bit of a lull. So occasionally, if it's nice outside, I'm going to go home a bit earlier than normally. Right now we're at build, so I'm, you know, as you guys have seen the wonderful toy that we'll talk about, I'm trying my best to be sure that's polished, so come build, it looks amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to put in the extra time and effort, and the same thing goes with learning. If it doesn't directly relate to my job, I will go and do my best to learn it outside of work and figure out what works best. Like, is taking an hour during the weekend to learn something new and cool for the next month, it's 4 hours total. Like, that's totally doable.
Yeah.
And we all want to be the best at our craft, right? I mean, we've seen lots of software craftsmanship, you know, guides and calendars and things of that nature. We want to be the best, I think, generally. And it sometimes requires extra hours.
Yeah.
At least it does for me.
Yeah. No, I like that, you know, it's that give and take. And I had, so I'm usually the one that gives a lot and then I'm usually not taking. It was actually recently, I had a whole bunch of stuff that I had to work on I was having a hard time finding like time to sleep. You know, I was going to bed late every night and then I had to get up early. And what I ended up doing for basically 2 days is because I knew I had a trip, I had to actually leave on a Saturday. I blocked off those 2 days and I ended up, you know, working probably about half the day, but I blocked off the entire day. And I just, it just said, what did I say on there? I said block for sanity was the thing I put on there. That way I didn't have any random meetings on there. And
that's a valid reason.
Yeah. And that's how I found my balance was doing that.
Back to self-care.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't take care of yourself, sometimes nobody else will.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Even sanity wise, like, I know I'll do this and I know my boss does that. I'm assuming you do this as well. So we have we block off our calendars for work.
Yeah.
Like, no meetings. Meetings is forbidden. So.
Yeah. No, that's definitely a good strategy as well.
So,
anything else you want to mention there, Carl?
No, the only thing I'd like to mention is like there's sometimes where you might be not actively honing, but I use like times when I'm working, exercising, otherwise where my hands and feet are occupied, but my mind's available to listen to podcasts like this one in order to get up to speed. Mm-hmm. That way, when it's time to spend time with the family, then I can spend time with the family. But if I'm out just doing chores, mowing the lawn, going on a run, I can listen and still learn at the same time. So sometimes it's, you know, finding how can you multitask in a way that's going to be beneficial for you.
Exactly.
So if you want to get mentioned on the show like Dwight, send us an email to feedback@msdevshow.com or comment on Facebook, YouTube, or Stitcher. We really like those 5-star iTunes reviews.
Okay, perfect. And we're skipping the news this week. If people are wondering what's going on, we're going to jump right into the topic because really the new segment on the build series is just going to be build, build, build.
And more build.
Yeah.
Building. Building build.
Behind yeah. the scenes, the build build of Windows.
Yeah. So today we're actually talking about Windows Template Studio. So what is this thing?
I'll let you take it. Okay, so Windows Template Studio is an idea that we came up with after we had Michael actually went and created a file new app. And to build up the scaffolding and everything you need took much longer than what you were expecting. And it's same with me. It's trying to figure out, like, what's the best practice for A versus B? Do you... which is the best model to pick?
No, I don't think that's that.
Yeah.
And for that, a lot of that came with my son was wanting to get into software development.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm like, heck yeah, let's do this. And so we started laying down the scaffolding for an MVVM flat application and putting in, you know, kind of the hamburger menu and so forth.
Sorry to interrupt, but your Skype is cutting you off a little bit. So if you could, I don't know, talk a little bit louder. I think you're not quite going over its threshold.
Yes, very, very close.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go back a little tiny bit here.
Sure.
So my son was wanting to create an application, and I was obviously like any dad, I was like, heck yeah, let's do this. And so he started looking at, you know, we were opening Visual Studio, we were creating a UWP project. And the thing that I noticed was that in order for us to kind of get started and start building an application, the amount of work that actually had to be put in place, going from adding references to adding pages to wiring up the pages to go into a back button, going
having
back,
a navigation service.
Exactly, theming. Navigation service, theming. There was all of these things. And then there was persisting data, you know, back to where, you know, you change your settings. Do like the dark theme or light theme, and then you want it to persist after. So I was learning all these new sort of things. And so from there, you know, Lynn and I both sharing our experiences. And we both had the same sort of thought there.
Yeah. So the thought was, hey, we can make templates great again. It was Windows 10, the templates, they were on 8, Windows 8.
You're getting quiet again, sorry.
All right. So the templates were removed in Windows 10 for file new. So we're thinking, what's a great way to add them back in? And we started thinking, like, this could be done programmatically, and we could probably pick and choose your own adventure here. So what could we do to make this into the world's best experience? And we were kind of looking around, and we saw Windows Template Studio. It kind of does this already, and our team actually controls Windows Template Studio. So we're like, well, could we make this become the next, like, evolution of Windows App Studio? So we made Windows App Studio. Basically, we removed a lot of the stuff that a developer would not want and made it much more dynamic, if you will. We actually rewrote the generation engine and everything. So now it produces crisp code and does everything you want, and it's highly adaptable as well.
So if I can add on to that one piece, mm-hmm. imagine a world where you go file, new project, you select UWP, and then from there you are able to add in which framework you would like, from MVVM, Lite, to code behind, to just if you just want basic vanilla MVVM, to start adding in the different types of pages that you want, and then the developer features and the consumer features, and then it's spit out. I think that's a kind of a quick way to kind of let you know what this was starting.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to compare this to like what we had before. So like right now, if we go to the box, you do file new blank app. That's really the only option for UWP.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you do that and you just given, hey, here's a grid, go nuts. And that's about it. And we look at what we had before, like you might've been able to say, hey, I want like a pivot app, and that'll have a basic pivot setup for you, but you still have to do everything. Whereas this, let's just say if I have an app, I know I want, a few different pages. I want one pivot. I need like a settings menu, and maybe I want a map on there. I can actually go through this, like you said, this more wizard-like approach and click all of those different things. And when I go up, not only will I have a blank main page, a settings portion with the settings ready to wire up and all the code behind for that, but also a blank map where I just have to like type in my key, and they're all kind of wired together ahead of time for me. So that's like the end goal for this. So I can do something like that.
And you mentioned actually a great topic is you mentioned the map and the key is the map controller requires a Bing Map API key. Wouldn't it be fantastic if when you generate a map control, we told you exactly where to get that key, and that's what we do. So our the Template Studio actually has to-dos for areas that you are supposed to add in additional code, because we have a very strong rule of you're the developer, you know what you're doing. We will tread that fine line of not doing enough to doing too much. We always try to not do too much work for you, because it's very code is very intimate, and we don't want to make assumptions that are incorrect for you, and then you're going to have to remove all the code. And
I like that. So that's why you don't go out and like auto grab a key or something, right?
Yeah.
And then even if you miss those to-dos, so let's be real here. Most developers, they may just go ahead and hit F5 right at the beginning, because I know I want to get to F5 very quickly.
Yeah.
On that screen, down at the bottom, we have automatically put in, you know, hey, here's where you know, this key is missing. It's in red, so it's very visible to you. So even inside the application, you're kind of getting your reminder to go ahead and get your key.
And even if there is work for you to do as the end developer, no matter what, every app we generate will be compilable. It will be runnable. It will be executable, or you can go through and click everything. Just certain things may not fully work because of that, like the background task. It triggers, but we don't do anything past that because we don't know what you want the background task for.
I love this. I love that. Yeah, this solves a lot of my problems because, yeah, for me, you know, I only play around with UWP every once in a while, and it's always kind of a pain to get those things up and running, and I have to go all different places and find different pieces of information. And I'm remembering a situation where I had James Montemagno was behind me, and we were doing some Xamarin stuff, and I was having an issue. And I said, "Hey, James, I'm having an issue." So he turns around, he goes, "Move," and he does this, and he like fixes the issue. But then he went into like, he was like in every screen, he's like, "You need a navigation controller." And, you know, he's like doing what you're talking about, where he knows like all these things that he has to do. And it's just in his head because he's made like 50 different apps, right? The guy can make an app in like 10 minutes. So you've basically like automated that part of James, I think.
and then the other great thing we did was we actually partnered with the community here to be sure that we weren't making insane assumptions. Like a big one was for MVVM is we approached that very cautiously because everyone has an opinion and everyone else's opinion is wrong. Like me versus Michael,
mine is right though.
Yes. But what we did was MVVM Lite was we directly reached out to Laurent. We actually pitched this idea to Laurent before anyone else to say, like, is this a good idea? How do you feel about this? And we directly worked with him to say, like, hey, we're making these assumptions. Does this folder layout make sense? Is this the best practice we should be doing? Is X or Y wrong or right? And he worked with us, along with even the community. There was some minor stuff and some big stuff that we had to tweak because of feedback. And we were very, very community focused and feedback focused. Okay. We occasionally make wrong calls, and we're all for making the right call.
Okay.
Or doing the right thing. Sorry, not making the right call.
And also one thing to tie back into this is that also this is something that was actually asked for by the community. We run a lot of different developer surveys, and during those surveys, this was, I believe, the number two ask.
For multiple years running, actually.
For multiple years, they wanted the templates back, just like they had some templates in the past. But this time, instead of just giving them a couple of templates, we're going to let them generate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So, you know, looking forward, this you've got me convinced. This is awesome. I want to use this. How can I get this? Is this something that's going to be shipped with Visual Studio? Is it going to be like in the gallery? Do I have to install a standalone VizX, or is it like I configure my Git feed? I mean, there's a lot of ways to do something like this, but how is it going to work?
So the primary way right now, how everyone will be able to acquire it is in the Microsoft Visual Studio gallery. We also do have a nightly build that is on my Git. Both instructions can be found at aka.ms/WTS, Windows Template Studio. That will redirect you to our GitHub, and we have full-blown instructions on there.
And we'll make sure that's in the show notes.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
So how do I – just walk me through this, because I know like in Visual Studio there's extensions and updates. Will it be in there?
Yes.
Okay.
So you download the VizX.
Yeah.
So you just go in there, you search for it, you find it, you click install, restart Visual Studio, it's going to install, okay. And you're good to go. If you install the nightly, it's a slightly different process where you actually have to add in the feed, but it just works. So, we're the guinea pigs for the nightly, typically.
Yeah, and the main thing is that after the takeaway here is that after you install it, all you have to do is simply just spin back up Visual Studio and go back to the Universal Windows application templates, mm-hmm. and you'll see from there there's going to be a new template that's going to be added.
Okay.
And one of the cool things actually I'm personally proud of is we decoupled the templates from the VizX. And this is cool because if there's something that...
Oh, okay, so they update. Okay.
...are updated, and we don't need to update the actual physical engine of the extension, we can push an update if we want it. The next time you run it, you'll get that update for the template.
Okay.
So, yeah. Imagine after build, someone gives us an amazing pull request for a new control or a new page or a new framework, and if it doesn't require an engine update, we can actually push that live pretty quick.
Okay.
So, yeah. Somebody that maybe is a line of business developer may want to use some of the controls that's available, and they may want to put together a nice little dashboard, and it could be something that's, something that the community would absolutely love to have, and other, line of business developers would love to have, and that page would automatically be, pulled in, and it would be inside of the template generator.
Yeah, okay. And on top of what's currently there, we currently have 6 pages. We're going to add in more. There's actually already a community. We have 2 really fantastic community members, Matt Lacey and James Croft.
They've been doing amazing stuff for us.
They've been helping out. We actually have a small little SWAT team of Microsoft MVPs that are helping us out, community members, and that's who we're throwing a lot of the ideas, and they're contributing back with pull requests. There's currently actually already a pull request for, I believe, the charting control from the Progress Telerik controls.
Okay.
For an LOB style control page.
Cool. So I'm a little slow, so help me understand this. Is there like whenever I step through this process, are there like multiple templates that I can start with, or is it always the same one and I'm sort of telling it how to build it?
So it's the best way I like to call it is pick your own adventure.
Okay.
So the wizard right now is broken into 2 pages. It may actually be broken into the future into 3 because very quickly I feel like we're going to balloon out on pages and features. Mm-hmm. But so the first page is pick your project type, which we have as a blank page, which you're smart. You're going to pick and do whatever crazy magic you're going to pick. The next one is a navigation pane, which is pretty much synonymous across all of Windows, which some people call it the hamburger menu. Mm-hmm. And then you can do a pivot tab. So that is a design choice that you make that ripples across your entire app. So we call that as a fundamental pillar of your app.
Building block.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The next one is what framework do you want? Do you want code behind? Do you want MVVM Lite? Do you want, we have a generic MVVM implementation as well because some people don't like taking a dependency. We also are looking at other frameworks. What MVVM Lite was actually, is the top third-party library out there for in terms of UWP apps. So we literally implemented it ourselves because it's a top ask. It's a top used item.
And one thing to add on to that is that we've heard very loud and clear that there is those times, and especially, you know, when I have spent some time, I spent, you know, 8 years or so working in healthcare, where you could absolutely not use any type of third-party library like NVDMI. Mm-hmm. And I remember being penalized and not being able to use that. And I've heard recently of more people that cannot use third-party libraries in their applications. And that's why by default, we also have just NVDM code, you know, code behind top those other two tops that you can use.
Okay.
Espose offers a powerful set of file management APIs with which developers can create applications, which can create, open, edit, and save the majority of popular business file formats. Their product range supports a multitude of file formats, including Word documents, Excel spreadsheets, PowerPoint presentations, PDF documents, OneNote, Outlook, Project, Visio files, popular image formats, and many others. Espose produces APIs for .NET, Java, and the cloud, which can be utilized in almost any modern language available today. Visit www.espose.com for a free 30-day no-limitations trial. And if you get stuck, message the friendly support team for help. All technical support is offered free of charge. Remember, if you're a lucky winner, you will receive a free developer small business license for espose.words for .NET, a powerful toolkit to work with Word documents in your applications.
And you guys mentioned pull requests at one point. Is this whole thing open source then?
It is actually open source. So we open source the kit from everything from the documentation to the engine.
Okay.
Every part of this is actually open source. We're leveraging the Visual Studio template generator, believe it or not, which is also another open source project by the Visual Studio team. And we actually have multiple feature requests for them because based on the stuff that we need to generate our templates. Yeah.
So, you know, if I have my own like library or something that I think that would be really helpful, maybe I've got like a whole bunch of UWP helpers, extension methods, maybe my own controls. How easy is it to plug something like that into this and make it a pull request so it's available for everybody?
So we have contribution guidelines. There we go.
Yeah.
As I look at my GitHub page here. So the first thing you should do is open an issue for what you want to do. And much like every good dev, if it's a concrete individual item, it should be its own issue, mm-hmm. not an entire grouping thing.
Here's everything I want.
Yeah. those will get me very, very annoyed, and I will delete all but except the top item. So what you need to do is create an issue, and then let's have a discussion. Key thing is a discussion, because this isn't just for you. It's for the entirety. For the one that we build out will be for everyone. Now, the cool thing is because this is open source, you could point at your own CDN and have your own templates to do whatever you want. There's actually another request that we had was being able to merge the official and a custom. Not totally sure how that's going to work, but it is a request that someone did have, and it's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
If you have open source, if you have controls or something you want, let's have a discussion and see how that works best for everyone, not just for potentially your use case.
And, and by doing this, it really ensures, you know, a lot of the times I believe, especially in, you know, healthcare and some of these other, you know, industries, you know, they want full control and they're afraid somebody's going to abandon it. And, you know, if you have your own set, you know, a team there and you decide that you want to use this, you may decide, hey, you know what, I don't want to stay in the official branch. I want to do my own thing. And we want you to be able to do it. Leverage the work that's already been put into the typical student. Yeah.
If you want to fork it.
Very cool.
So, you know, we covered about getting our own code in there. What if there's like this really cool third-party library that I don't own, have control over, and I'd really like to see part of that included into like one of these templates, maybe like in an MVVM Lite style. Is there a good way to do that, or is that something that I'm just going to have to wait for those authors to, you know, try to integrate with you guys?
So if you – would want to do the heavy lifting and create a pull request with that, I'd say 100%. What we'll probably end up doing is work directly with that author library to be sure they're okay with it as well.
Yes.
Like, we did not want to assume that, like, Laurent would be okay with us including MVVM Lite. Mm-hmm. So we make sure that they have proper attribution. We make sure that in our there's a summary pane in the right-hand side that when you select their framework, that you know as the end developer, you are taking a dependency on their license. So we ship under MIT license. They may ship under some other license that you as an end developer have to respect.
Oh, that's a good point.
I think the main thing there is make sure that that third-party author is aware of what's kind of going on there. Most of the time, in my time in the community, and most of the time if I bring up to somebody and say, hey, you know, this right here would be a cool fit for your project, and they're an author of some nice, you know, framework or control or whatever, they more than likely would want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
So make sure you check with them first, and then rock it.
Yeah, and then the other big thing that I'm a firm believer in is to follow back up with them to be sure that what is there is what they envision. Is their, because it's kind of their baby. Like, is it the best practices? Does it show their product in the best light? And be sure that they're okay with it being added in. Mm-hmm. Is what's being generated is the best code possible.
Okay. So this thing, I mean, this thing sounds great. I mean, I definitely want to use it. So I'm just curious, you know, I don't want to ask something that you do any roadmap stuff you don't want to talk about, but like, why wouldn't I just want this installed by default in Visual Studio? I mean, why do I have to jump through a separate hoop? Because it seems like everybody would want this.
I agree, and I hope everyone would want it. Yeah. The reason why it's not included by default is because we literally created it back in January.
So after VS shipped, yeah.
Yeah. So we the story behind it kind of was after we had the kind of brain powwow of, hey, this seems like a good idea.
Yeah.
Went and locked myself in my office for a couple days, and out came a 50-page spec, and we basically kind of talked about it, shopped it around. Did anyone seem like this was a bad idea? And then came the MVP summit. And we pitched it to all the MVPs in the room, and that was kind of our final, is this a good idea? Is anyone going to just go, what were you guys thinking? And pretty much everyone's like, dude, this sounds awesome.
And it was more than, you know, it was awesome, but it was also was, how can I get involved else I care about this?
Yeah.
And then I care about making this.
And then afterwards, we actually had a focus group where we locked, I think it was 20 MVPs in a room.
It was the largest focus group, actually.
It was the largest focus group. And then we, what do you guys want in this? Like, they didn't know we had this giant spec there. We were just saying, what do you guys want? Like, what's this? And we helped do, like, prioritization exercises to be sure that when we said, here are the 6 pages, because there's finite amount of time and there's finite amount of resources, are we prioritizing correctly, or is there something we didn't expect? And there's a couple times where they surprised us, and we adjusted our priorities accordingly to reduce what the community needs.
So if I already have like a basic app, and your sort of file new project, you know, if I went through your template engine, if yours is like, I don't want to say better, but if it has features that I didn't implement, like, what's my best strategy for implementing those? Should I just, like, kind of go through that process and then kind of copy and paste?
So is your question kind of like, oh, I want to backport something into a pre-existing app?
Yeah, basically.
So going back to prioritization, we have, of said spec, there is actually, like, a good probably 5+ pages on adding to existing apps.
Yeah.
We do have a proof of concept to right-click add into an existing project, but we had to prioritize and ship because, like, a project like this could be death by 1,000 cuts. Mm-hmm. So we said, hey, you know what? Time out. This will be in a near future item, maybe a V1.1, maybe V1.2.
Yeah.
But it is definitely an item that we want in the future, along with we do have a little bit of code debt, I'll say, because the interesting problem that we actually hit with the entire building this was, I called it M times N problem of we get into a scenario where testing it and building it, it's with, you know, every page has to support three different frameworks, has to, you know, like, how can you reuse all this code? And like code behind MVVM structure, they're radically different.
But one thing I will say that they you could do if you already have that existing app, at least for right now, is that, again, the project is structured in a way that you could say, hey, you know what? I'm going to generate it with the Template Studio projects, and then I can, you know, maybe copy and paste some code over.
I'm thinking that's fine, because then I can understand, too, everything as it comes in.
Yeah, you can definitely copy and paste, and it's a bit more work for you guys to do that, but it is something we're plotting to do. It's just like a great example of something we wanted to do, but we had to make the call was much more robust localization. Mm-hmm. The stuff we produce is actually localized. It's just ENUS. Okay. Because we actually had an early wizard, and now what everyone sees is the much more advanced wizard. But when we were testing it out, it was very hard to localize stuff. We weren't doing it automatically. There's something we could do. At the time, you make a priority call to default. You guys can do the additional localization.
Okay.
And I will have to say, even doing that backporting method is with this is way easier than currently. Even this morning, I was copying code from one project to another, only failing to realize that, oh, now I got to install all these NuGet packages because my code is relying on that. And by default, you bring in some ones that make a lot of sense. JSON.net is one that I pretty much have in all my projects and is, you know, I generated one earlier, and JSON.net was just in there, and it was all working right from the get-go.
Yeah, we only take a couple dependencies on third-party libraries, like JSON.net, we do, everyone does, so it's just, I think it's part of .ASP.NET 4
as well,
so I feel fairly confident that we can get away with that one.
Yeah,
even if you run into an issue where you can't use it, again, you can always strip out that pieces of code and put in something that works for your organization.
Yeah.
Very cool. Anything else you guys wanted to mention that we didn't cover?
I think we should touch at least on design and the apps being designed.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that at least I've seen a couple of times is people will create applications and they'll put them in the store and they'll work great on maybe their own machine. And so with this, obviously, we worked and spent quite a bit of time with designers to make sure that when you generate an application using our generator, that it will automatically, you know, spit out the right code to adjust to different types of screen sizes, you know, from the smallest of screens all the way to the largest of screens. And then it's also pixel perfect. So you don't have to worry about, you know, maybe is this where should the settings menu go? Oh, yeah, and the design guidelines, it shows settings, goes at the bottom of the page. So stuff like that is kind of just baked in, and it's for free.
Yeah.
And I think people will enjoy that because at least as, you know, my life as a dev, I never really cared too much about the design part of things.
So were your apps all Battleship Gray then?
They were.
Yeah, and then that has me coming in going with, this is one pixel off.
Exactly. And those are some of the things that, you know, they were able to help us make sure that if you generate an app, you know, using this tool, then it's going to generate it and it's going to adhere to the policies and guidelines.
Okay. That's great. Okay. Let's move on. So we have no picks of the week, so we'll just skip right to this game that we play.
Picks of the week is Windows Template Studio. Let's not care.
Heck yeah.
That's our dev tip of the week, our Azure pick of the week. It's everything.
Actually, by default in here, I'm looking around. I see the Azure Notification Hub integration. So we got Azure in there too.
Yeah, perfect.
Yep, we have Azure. We have there's a couple other cool toys that we want to add in the near future as well.
Okay. So let's start with you, Clint. I need you to pick a number between 1 and 4 and let me know what it is.
I'm gonna pick number 4.
Number 4. Would you rather, okay, here we go. Would you rather have to use a toilet that is really, really filthy and gross, that's two reallys, or use one that's clean, but where the water is bubbling in the bottom and you think that it's going to spout up at any time?
Oh, this is when I just go to the find another restroom.
And I was going
to
say, this is when our guests are like, why did I come on the show? Yeah.
Does the dirty toilet flush? Is there this is one of those questions. Like, what is the exact circumstance?
I know. There's always more questions than answers here. Yeah.
I would just.
That's the entirety of the information.
So this is the engineer coming out in him right now.
Is I was
trying to drill down.
Yeah,
further.
I'm like, what's the resource?
Just pick one.
And, you have 3 seconds to pick.
I'm gonna go with the bubbling.
Which one?
I'm gonna go with the bubbling.
Okay.
I'm gonna be. Because
it does say that you think it's going to happen.
Doesn't mean it is. It means hey, someone could just put a piece of dry ice in there.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, it says that you think it is. So you've evaluated it, and whatever
evaluated it, I'm going to a different building.
But you really got to go. Okay.
Oh, ready, Michael? Your turn.
Yeah, let's Michael, do it. Pick a number. Let me cross this one off. Hold on.
Okay, I'm going to go one.
Number one. Okay.
You too have the toilet question.
After finishing a meal, not in a toilet, would you rather learn that your pork was actually hamster meat or that the red beans in your chili were actually beetles?
You know what? I think I could do beetles. I could do the beetles over the hamsters. This goes back to some of the bugs are delicacies.
Yeah, a lot of people eat beetles.
I could do the bugs.
It's a source of
I could do it.
Yeah.
100%. You know, they actually at the Mariners game, they have the fried cockroaches.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Believe it or not, yes. Oh, wow. You can get fried cockroaches there. So I'm going beetle.
Oh, that's good. 100%. That's good.
I'm in.
Well, it's funny.
He's excited.
Because like the hamster. Yeah. he's like, where are they?
Get some.
Where are they?
It is lunch right now.
Where is Clint's toilet?
I'll probably be needing that though.
Yeah. I'm gonna need a shower shortly.
Yeah. Okay, Carl, you pick a number.
I'll take number two.
Number two. Would you rather always wear earmuffs or always wear a nose plug?
Earmuffs.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather have a little bit muffled hearing than not be able to breathe as well.
I know. And I think some people use that as like a fashion thing. So plus, yeah. Could they be earmuffs that have headphones built in?
Yeah. Then it's brain dead. I mean, I wear these like 12 hours a day anyways.
Wow. Okay.
I just let coworkers listen to whatever music I'm listening to.
I know all of Clint's musical taste.
Oh, nice. Okay, so where can people find you guys? Either one. Where can people find you guys? Twitter, website?
Yeah. You can hit me up on Twitter at mbcrump. I have a personal blog, michaelcrump.net.
Okay.
One of those two places.
Yeah, for me, primarily would be Twitter, Clint Ruckus, so ClintRuckas. And yeah, I respond to pretty much everyone.
Perfect. And then we'll have links in our show notes to all the stuff that we talked about. And where can people find you, Carl?
You can find me on Twitter at Carl Schweitzer.
And you can find me at ytechie.com or on Twitter at twitter.com/ytechie. So guys, thank you so much for coming on here and talking to us about one of the build announcements.
Thank you so much for having us.
And you can email anything afterwards to us.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to much during the show.
Notes collector.
Yeah, I think you guys are going to be like, your faces will be half cut off.
Is there any way you could tweak that recorder?
Yeah, if you guys could like have your heads touching for the whole episode.